Well, as I said, we start a new series today. It's entitled The Treasure Principle. The Treasure Principle is a name that theologian Randy Alcorn has given to a principle that's found in God's Word, in the Bible. And the Treasure Principle, I should grab my remote, that'll be a help. The Treasure Principle... Oh, it is working now. It helps to turn it on, not off. There we go. The treasure principle begins with the words, you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. Now, that might sound like stating the obvious, but I don't think it is that obvious. Although I'm sure most of us would agree with that statement that you can't take it with you, that's not how most of us live, is it? Most of us store up money, and we store up treasures. I'm frequently told by families and executives of deceased people that they have a mountain of belongings to sort through, and it inevitably takes them weeks or even months to clear the house of everything. Most of that, of course, ends up on hard waste collection or in the tip. So what are we storing all these things up for? Psalm 49 verses 16 to 17 tells us, do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases. For they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them. John D. Rockefeller lived from 1839 to 1937, and Rockefeller was possibly the wealthiest American of all time, and possibly also the richest person in modern history. When Rockefeller died, his lawyer was asked, how much money did John D. leave? And his lawyer replied, he left all of it. You can't take it with you. But Jesus teaches us that that is not all that's actually to be said on the subject. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, Jesus tells us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Did you notice that Jesus actually calls us to store up treasures? Jesus warns us not to store up treasures on earth, but Jesus urges us to store up treasures in heaven. Jesus then adds a profound corollary to the truth that you can't take it with you. And that's the secret of the treasure principle. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can send it on ahead. Well, I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty incredible, quite mind-blowing. As Randy Alcorn puts it, anything we try to hang on to here will be lost. But anything we put into God's hands will be ours for eternity. If we give instead of keeping, if we invest in the eternal instead of in the temporal, we store up treasures in heaven that will never stop paying dividends. Whatever treasures we store up on earth will be left behind when we leave. Whatever treasures we store up in heaven will be waiting for us when we arrive. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Now, there are some keys to understanding this revolutionary concept, and we're going to look at the first three of those keys over these coming 3 weeks. So let's start today with key number one, and that is God owns everything. I'm his money manager. Let's look at those two parts of key one in the order in which they come. Firstly, God owns everything. In our Bible reading earlier, you'll remember that we read, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters." The Holy Spirit tells us that this planet and everything contained in it, every creature living on it, belongs to the Lord. Why? Because he created the earth and everything in the earth. So just as the invention belongs to the inventor, and the song belongs to the songwriter, so creation belongs to the creator. In Job 41, verse 11, the Lord says, "Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me." The Lord possesses everything under heaven. In Haggai 2, verse 8, we read, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty." He owns all the wealth in the world. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we read, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." I have a reference library of theological books that I've collected over most of my adult life. And I'm grateful to have this resource for my ministry, and it's quite precious to me. And I've always written my name in a book when I've added it to my library. And I confess that when someone borrows one of my books and returns it to me in worse condition, it does bother me. When I married Leanne, I became convicted that as a demonstration that we were in fact becoming one flesh in every way, I decided that I should no longer write Hilton Jordan in my books, but Jordan's. And I've done that ever since. But the truth is that I should stop writing Jordan's and I should start writing the Lord's. The Lord's. Maybe then I'll stop worrying about the condition in which the books are returned to me. And I might even be glad about other people reading them. Because God owns everything. Your furniture doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. It's quite jarring when you hear it that way, doesn't it? The car you drive doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. The house you live in doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the maker of heaven and earth. The income you receive does not belong to you. It belongs to your heavenly Father. You don't even belong to you. You belong to God Almighty. God owns everything. So what does that mean for you and me? Well, it means I'm God's money manager. I'm God's money manager. We're not owners. We're only keepers. We don't have property. We are stewards of someone else's property. And we've not been given the Lord's possessions. We've been entrusted with God's goods. And so we need to ask, what's expected of someone who manages someone else's property? What's expected of us? As Alcorn says, "The steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets the steward manages. It's the steward's job to find out what the owner wants done with their assets, and then carry out the owner's will." A stockbroker doesn't own the stocks and securities that they buy and sell, do they? The stockbroker acts on behalf of the clients of the brokerage. A distraught man once rode his horse up to the great Anglican preacher, John Wesley, shouting, "Mr. Wesley, something terrible has happened. Your house burnt to the ground." And John Wesley paused for a moment and then he replied, "No, the Lord's house burned to the ground. That means one less responsibility for me." That's not denial. That's stating fact. I am God's money manager. A few days ago, I was booking a ticket for a conference that I'll be attending. And I was faced with four prices for accommodation at the conference. And initially, I was undecided between two options that I thought were reasonably priced. And then I remembered that the money I was planning on spending was God's money. And that instantly gave me clarity. It made my decision easy, and I booked the ticket and was liberated of that indecision. Someone has said, whenever we think like owners, it's a red flag. We should be thinking like stewards, investment managers, always looking for the best place to invest the owner's money. Well, why do we need to do that? The answer is because one day we'll have to give an answer to the owner for what we've done with his wealth. The Holy Spirit tells us in Paul's letter to the Romans, "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." Each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. One day, you and I will give an answer for what we've done with God's money and possessions. We'll have to give an account of why we spent what we spent and bought what we bought. We'll have to give an account of why we hoarded what we hoarded and withheld what we withheld. And we'll have to give an account for why we gave what we gave and contributed what we contributed. The good news is you don't need to dread that day. That day doesn't have to be filled with regrets or shame. Judgment Day can just as easily, in fact, be a celebration if you think about it. Wouldn't you love for that day to be filled with joy as you're able to reflect on how you have put God's resources to work in His kingdom? What a delight it could be to reflect on the families or communities that have been changed for eternity by your generosity. Imagine seeing the familiar faces as well as the strangers who came to salvation through the use, your use of God's wealth. How beautiful to be able to savor pleasing and honoring God through the stewardship that you have exercised of all that He gave you. Brothers and sisters, let's be joyful and generous stewards of our Heavenly Father's great wealth. Key one, God owns everything. I am His money manager. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us to get to grips with what is being called the treasure principle, this principle that we find in Your Word, that we can't take it with us, but we can send it on ahead. Lord, we live as if we can take it with us, and we confess that foolishness. It makes no sense at all. But Father, we also acknowledge that it's quite incredible that we can send it on ahead, that we can invest in eternity, that we can, in fact, store up treasures in heaven, as Jesus tells us. Lord, help us to believe this reality, and in believing it, to act on it. And so we pray that you'd help us to put into practice key one, that you own everything, and that we are your money managers. Father, too often we fall into the trap of thinking that we are the owners of what is in our care. And yet we're only stewards. Help that truth sink in to our thinking, sink in to our lives. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to become joyful and generous stewards of what you have given us. So that on that day, that great day, on Judgment Day, when we have to stand before you and give an account, that we can do so celebrating and with delight. So we ask these things through your Holy Spirit working in us, and in Jesus' name, amen.